Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Pray you in your limitless mercy for sin.
servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is
when brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron.
Running down on the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from
from the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffer distress and anguish.
Then I call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm, "All mankind are liars."
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The 2nd reading is from St. Peter's 1st letter, the 1st chapter. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who
saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Today we head back to Easter Sunday afternoon with the two men on the road to Emmaus. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What's this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" This is our text. In Psalm 143, verse 8, King David offers us a beautiful prayer for the beginning of the day. He writes, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Make me know the way I should go. That may not have been the prayer of the two men going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem on Easter Sunday afternoon.
but it became their prayer before the day ended. Make me to know the way I should go. What happened that afternoon led them to a complete 180. Have you ever experienced that? Where you're going one direction and something happens and you find yourself suddenly going the exact opposite direction. Perhaps it happens in a single moment, in an hour, or in a day. That's how it was for these guys. They were headed one direction, but by the last verse of our reading, we find these two men right back in Jerusalem, back where they started the day. They've got a lot of miles under their feet. They've done about a half marathon just to end up back where they started, back in Jerusalem, but entirely changed. And yet, when I think about that day for these two men, I wonder what exactly had changed. What's different from the time they set out to the time that their journey ended? When the two men left for the village of Emmaus, three things were true, even before they left. The first thing that was true was that the tomb was empty. Some women had gone to the tomb early in the day, but they didn't find the body of Jesus. They came back saying that they'd seen a vision of angels. Others went to the tomb and they found it the same way, but him they didn't see. The tomb was empty. The second thing that was true when they set out on Easter Sunday morning is that Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified, was in fact risen from the dead. It's true that no one had yet seen him alive, as far as these guys knew, but the angels had told them that Jesus was alive. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And it was true, even before they left. The third thing that was true is that Jesus had already accomplished the redemption of his people. He had redeemed them from their sins by his substitutionary atonement on the cross. He had redeemed them from death by rising again, and he had redeemed them from the devil by his descent into hell. So even when they set out, already at that point, the empty tomb was a fact, risen Jesus was a fact, and redemption accomplished was a fact. And you know what was still true when they finished their journey that evening? The tomb was still empty, Jesus was still alive, and redemption was still accomplished. What I'm getting at here is that the change that happened that day was not a change that happened in Jesus or to Jesus or with his work. Everything that he had come to do had already been done. Reality is what it is. We may be ignorant of it. We may not feel it. We may suffer the weight of many challenges, sorrows, and disappointments. But reality is what it is. But thinking about those challenges, those disappointments, those sorrows, what is it for you? What is it that you began with this morning? Are you burdened by your sins? Things that you've said or done that you wish that you hadn't? Are you drowning in sorrow, suffering from a loss of some type? Are you saddened by some turn that has happened in your life? Are you struggling financially? Are you suffering in your body? Are you loaded with regret? Whatever it might be, our ignorance, our feelings, and even these things going on in our lives, none of that changes what is true, accomplished, and fact. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Redemption has been accomplished. And I'm telling you that this also is true for you. Before you woke this morning, before that thing that's weighing you down began weighing you down, before you'd ever given thought to Jesus and who he is and what he'd done,
Before you were even born, the tomb was empty. Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he had done the work of your redemption. And it'll still be true when you turn out the light and put your head on your pillow tonight at the end of the day. And it'll be true still when you wake up again tomorrow morning. But when those two guys got up on Easter Sunday morning, they didn't jump out of bed thinking that it was a beautiful day to be alive. Even after the women brought the report about the tomb being empty, they still didn't get it. I don't know, maybe those guys needed a second cup of coffee that morning. Maybe they weren't fully awake and aware. The morning sort of slipped away, and then the afternoon rolled around, and finally they set out on their trip to Emmaus, talking and discussing together. You know how it is, talk, talk, more talk, but just kind of going in circles and maybe getting each other a little more worked up about everything that had happened. And a third guy approaches and jumps in, and he says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And they stood still, looking sad. This is what strikes me. All those things that I mentioned about Jesus, they're already accomplished, they are done, they have happened, and yet still here are two guys standing in the middle of the road, looking sad. And probably thinking about the third guy, who is this guy anyway? And are they going to have to repeat again everything that they just talked about? Look, buddy, who doesn't know what's been going on? Or are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days? And he simply says, "What things? What things?" I love it. They hang their heads and they unload all their disappointments. They unload all their sorrows. They unload all the darkness they feel, but especially their disappointment and sorrow with that guy, Jesus. We'd hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. But I guess that dream's over now. Back to reality. Don't you love it? Because they're talking to Jesus as if he's the one who's ignorant. They're talking to Jesus like he's the one who doesn't know anything. Like he's still dead or gone or whatever. As if they have to inform Jesus about the things that have happened. Of course, their eyes were kept from recognizing him, but still. I find something so comic about this. "Hey, tell me about those things." Meanwhile, he's got the nail marks and the wound in his side and the marks on his head. There's something comic about God's grace. While we're here sitting and lamenting over our sorrows and the things that weigh us down and dishearten us, the facts are already accomplished. It's already been done. He's taken care of it. They take everything that's happening so seriously, and I know the things in our lives are serious in a way, but they don't have a clue about what's actually going on. "What things?" Jesus asks. What things? And that's an invitation to you. So feel free to tell him. Don't hold back. You can let him know about everything that's been happening. You can let him know about how disappointed you are. You can let him not know how he hasn't turned out to be what you expected him to be or what anyone else expected either. Go ahead and inform him. Pray to him as if he doesn't know and hasn't got a clue. That's often how we pray. And it's fine. He's ready for it. He accepts it. He doesn't walk away from those guys and think, "What a bunch of clueless guys." And you know, when we begin that prayer, he's right there when we pray. I mean, he was there when these guys were talking about all of this. But still, it's us trying to tell him about the things in our lives. He already knows, and here we are trying to fit all the pieces together, and Jesus says, "Oh, those pieces?" And he's already picked them up, and he's already putting them back together. He already knows where it's going and how it's going to end and what it looks like for us, even when we can't see it. So how does he do it? How does he do it for those two guys, those two sad disciples? How does he take them hanging their heads one moment and sending them on a 180, skipping back to Jerusalem the next? He does it by walking with them on the road to Emmaus. He's with them, even when they don't realize it, even when they don't recognize him, even when they think that they're talking to a completely clueless stranger. They find out Jesus is there. He joins them on the way. He joins them when their heads are hanging low. He joins them in their sorrow and disappointment so that he can put them on his way. And what happens with them on the road? It says that he opens the scriptures to them, and he teaches them from the scriptures everything concerning himself, from Moses and the prophets, the entire Old Testament. Jesus gives them a Bible study. He speaks to them in the Word. And he says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, wasn't it necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" The suffering should be no surprise. It's been written about in the scriptures. The suffering of the Christ and even the suffering of Christians. But it's also written that he was to enter into his glory and that he would bring many sons and daughters with him into that glory. Jesus is there in the scriptures. He is there making himself known to us. He is there accompanying us on the journey so that we are walking not alone, but with him. And he is teaching us about himself, the things that he has accomplished, that he has already done, how he died, but he is living never to die again. It's interesting to me that when the church began gathering together, it established a pattern of hearing the scriptures, followed by the eating of a meal. And you know what Jesus did second for those guys? As they drew near, Jesus acted like he was going to keep going. And I love how the scriptures say he acted like it. See you later, guys. I'm just going to keep on my road. And they want him to stay. They still don't know who he is. They don't even quite understand what's going on, but we kind of like this guy. We kind of like him to be around for a while. So they said, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." During the day, while they were on the road, he opened to them the scriptures, and in the evening, he sat with them at the meal. It says that when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And that is the moment when their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. First in the word, and then in the meal. And then, though he vanished, he was not absent or gone from them. This is the thing we need to remember. Risen Jesus appears and then sort of disappears, but it doesn't mean that he's gone far away. He's still with them in that meal, and he's still with them in the Word, as he is still with us in the Word and in the meal, here on Sunday morning, and with us in the Word in our homes all throughout the week. They recognized him, and he himself was there, present, though invisible. And so it is for us. Let us, as we gather this day, hearing the word, recognize Jesus. May our hearts burn within us as he teaches us about himself. And then here in the breaking of the bread, when he is the one who blesses it, breaks it, gives it to us, may our eyes be opened to see the fact, the reality, the truth that was true before we came this morning and will be true when we leave today, but is true especially for us now and here. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Redemption is accomplished, and all of it for you. Despite the fact that we hang our heads, that we are sad and struggling and suffering, Despite the fact that we act as if he's still dead or gone or we don't know what's going on, Jesus is alive and true and real. And he meets us here on the way. He meets us with his own body and blood, with his forgiveness, with his resurrection. He hears our prayer and he answers it. We say to Jesus, stay with us. We say to our Lord, remain with us. Don't leave us alone on the journey. And he says, I haven't and I won't. I am here still in my word. I am here still in this meal of my body and blood. And I will be with you. I will abide and I will remain and I will strengthen you and I will keep you until that day when I come again in glory. And he will appear to our sight. And we will see him as he is. And we believe it is true, even when we may feel otherwise. We believe it is true, even when it seems like we need to be the ones informing Jesus about what's going on. We believe that it is true because the facts remain. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He has accomplished our redemption. And the fourth fact for today, that Jesus does abide with us. In his name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us pray to God our Father who raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Compassionate God, your Holy Spirit has breathed out Holy Scripture and opens his word to the hearts and minds of your people. Enlighten us by the unfading light of the resurrection, that our hearts may continually burn in faith toward you. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have established your church so that your promise of eternal life might be delivered to us, to our children, and to all who are far off. To everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Grant us faithful pastors to proclaim repentance and forgiveness through word and sacrament. Hear especially the prayer of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Acton and send quickly a pastor to serve them in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant that your word may be the foundation of every Christian life and home, that husbands and wives may be united in faith and hope, that those who are single may be encouraged and strengthened with friendship, that children may hear and be nurtured in this word. Receive our thanks for the birth of Hugh William to Christian and Emma, and of little Benjamin to Joel and Rachel.
Grant health to the babies and their mothers and joy to these families and the newborn sons. Keep also in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Kitty, Kelsey, Jordan, and Carrie. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war, violence, and terror. Give leaders who will seek true peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all the members of the armed forces, especially those serving overseas or in combat areas. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and suffering according to your will, and give comfort to the dying, especially to those who have requested our prayers, including Victor and Sandra through his hospice care, Ralph, Julian, and John for healing and restoration, as well as for Bob, Brady, Christopher, Heather and Mike, Karen, Linda, Nicole, Rick and Teresa, Robin, Steve, Tony and Libby, and Verity. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in days of trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and mouths to receive forgiveness in the body and blood of Christ, who suffered for us and has entered into his glory. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. In Christ, grant comfort to Christoph and his parents Mark and Marion, and all of their family as they mourn the death of his grandmother, Ruth, and grant the same comfort to all who mourn, that they may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Lord, in your mercy. These things and whatever else you know that we need, kind Father, grant us for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 61, a psalm of prayer. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. At the end of the earth, I call on you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shadow of your wings. For you, O God, I have heard my vows. You have given me heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of God, of the King. May his years endure all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. I will ever sing praises to the name, as I perform my vows day after day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Prolong the life of the King, may his years endure all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him.
Thank you. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.